Pastor Arderi, my wife and I give honor to Pastor Arderi, to Sister Arderi, the leadership, those that have taken a big chance and a leap of faith by allowing my wife and I to be here, and we appreciate it very much. You can be seated. Last week during our altar service, I felt a shift in the spirit. I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be, so I'm not going to try to prophesy to you what it was. I just know that it happened, and I'm thankful for it. I believe God wants to take us somewhere. Before I get started today, I do have a praise report, and I want everyone to know this. This is actually maybe a week or so past due, but I damn be able to announce this today. A few weeks ago, in prayer, we lifted up a young man's name, Gary, who is Brother Chris Brown's son, who was facing a biopsy because they believed that he had cancer. Well, I can tell you today that the biopsy came back and there is no cancer. God is still a healer. God is a healer. Now listen, I'm going to say this as a joke, but I want to make a point. You sang a song called Victory in Jesus. It's my favorite song. I've been singing it since I was born. It was page 120 on the hymnal in the church that I grew up in. In the church I grew up in, if the pastor asked you to sing, he didn't ask. He would say, Brother Mike, get a special. Anybody go to church where you had specials? Well, the special I would always sing was page 120, Victory in Jesus. It was the only song I knew. And when I start singing about victory, I get excited. And we started to get a little bit excited. Now, here's the joke. Now, everybody will get mad at me and not hear anything else I say. Sometimes when you live near Cleveland, you don't know how to respond in victory because the Browns haven't won a game in 30 years. I've got good news today. I'm going to prophesy. The Browns will not lose today. They will not lose. I'm saying it from the platform. Gospel, they're not playing. They're on a bye week. We've got to learn how to be victorious. We've got to learn how to put a smile on our face. We've got to learn how to love God and allow Him to bless us. I said all that to make you laugh, but if you believe that God can give you victory, give Him a hand clap of praise like you already have the victory. Let Him hear your voice. Let Him hear a hallelujah. Let Him hear a thank you, Jesus. We're quiet enough. God is good. He's good all the time, and He's worthy of praise all of the time. If I was at home, my brother Richard, I have my oldest brother's name is Richard. He is a diehard Cleveland Brown. You can be seated. He's a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. He would literally be mad the rest of the service. No matter what I preached, at the end, he would say, "You didn't have to say all that. Why do you always have to rub it in?" Well, I love all of you. Thank you. I do want to thank everybody again for the pastor appreciation last week. I really, really, my wife and I really appreciated it. So thank you for that. We are still receiving questions for our service on the 23rd. We are going to have a special service on November 23rd where my wife and I are going to do a Q&A session. And any of the members that want to ask any questions about our ministry, our experience, I've been asked multiple times by many of you what we did differently to keep our kids interested in church, and we want to talk to the Ashtabula campus about those things. So if you have any questions that have been in the back of your mind about my wife and I that you would like to know, submit them either to myself or to somebody that can get them to us, and we will answer those questions on the 23rd of this month, Thanksgiving month. I'm going to talk a little bit about Friday. In my message, we are doing a special service, not service, but an event here Friday. We will need volunteers, but listen, these are the volunteers I want. Ones that know how to smile and ones that know how to be encouraging. We're streamlining this so we don't need a lot of workers. We don't need a lot of hands on deck. We need people that know how to encourage people. If you are one of those, we want you here. If you're one of those people that every sentence starts with, "Well, the problem I have with that is," do me a favor. Come at 6, grab a takeout, head home, and enjoy a free meal on us as we minister to our community. Amen? All right, turn with me to the book of St. John, chapter 1. I'll read, the way I'll do this, so that you can be seated, I'll read verses 29 and 30 from John chapter 1, and then we'll go back and go down through and talk a little bit about this. But I'll read John chapter 1, verses 29 and 30 in your hearing, and then you can be seated. It says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me." John said, in chapter verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me." I'm going to put a title on this, and I want to move very quickly. I do have a lot of scripture that I want to read, but I want to get to a point at the end where we can discuss this. But the thought or topic that I want to speak for the next few moments about is introducing Jesus. Introducing Jesus. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Keep your Bibles with you, because in John chapter 1, let's jump back up in the chapter. I'm going to start reading at verse 19 and read down through this. It says, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou?" Now, this is speaking of John the Baptist. The Levites asked him and said, "Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" Here's the Bible way. That's the Bible way of saying, "Who are you? Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Why are you baptizing people if you're not any of these?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Verse 28, "These things were done in Betharaba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Then we pick up where our scripture text was. "The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." So John had just told them, there's coming a man. He's already standing among you. This man is going to be preferred over me. He was before me. He's speaking of Jesus. The next day, John is standing there, and Jesus comes walking down the shoreline, and he looks at the same people that he just told, and he introduces them to Jesus. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is he who I told you about." And he gets to introduce Jesus Christ to these men. Drop down with me to verse 40 of the same chapter. "One of the two which heard John speak," so they heard John the Baptist speak, "one of the two which heard him and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Okay, so do we know Peter and Andrew, two of the original 12? They were two that heard John the Baptist speak. They had heard John out in the wilderness baptizing people, and they had heard John the Baptist speak, and this is where we pick this up. "He first findeth his own," and one of them was Andrew, so it's talking about Andrew. This is Simon Peter's natural brother. Verse 41, "Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. How many of you realize that the Jews of that time were looking for the Messiah? Now, how many of you know what the Messiah is? It's a Bible word that we use, and a lot of times we don't understand what it means. We just know they make movies about it. Handel wrote a really good musical piece about it. If you've ever gone to a high school choir concert where high school choirs try to take a step up in quality, they probably sang Handel's Messiah. They probably didn't do very good on it because it's very difficult to sing. The Messiah had been prophesied for hundreds and thousands of years as the man that was going to deliver the children of Israel. They had been in bondage. They had been taken captive. They were under Roman rule, and they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a hero. They were looking for a savior. They were looking for someone that was going to deliver them from everything, all the oppression that they had faced. And Andrew in verse 41 says, we found him. We found the Messiah. We found the great hope. We found him. The one being interpreted is Christ. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew tells Peter, we found the Messiah. We found him. The Jews thought this was going to be a man of military might. They thought it was going to be a general or a hero that was going to come in and just militarily overthrow the Roman government. Andrew says, we found the Messiah, gets Peter all fired up, and brings Peter to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So Andrew introduced Jesus to Peter. Let's keep reading. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. And he says unto me, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So he's from the same city as them. Philip findeth Nathanael and says unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Do you realize how big of a deal this is? What would you do today? We pray to God. Do we believe that? How many of you believe there's a rapture coming? How many of you believe Jesus is coming back? How many of you believe that he's going to establish his kingdom on earth? How many believe all those things in Scripture? Okay, we believe all that, right? We've looked forward to that. We've heard that prophesied. We've heard that preached. We believe it. What would you do today if you're walking out of the service and someone that you have faith in, your brother, your sister, comes up to you and says, we found him. He's at Becker's. This is what's taking place. Andrew walks up to Peter and says, we found him. We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. Jesus is in Ashtabula. He's in Ashtabula today. He's at Panda Buffet. There would be a crowd like you've never seen at Panda Buffet. Panda Buffet is good. Did you hear that? Peter goes and the Lord begins to speak to him. And he says, your name's going to be Peter. Your name was Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter, which is by interpretation a stone. That's going to come back into play when he says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. But we're not going to talk about that. So then Jesus in the same town in Bethsaida the next day, he finds Philip. And he says, follow me. Philip gets so excited that he runs to Nathanael and he says, we found him. We found him, the one of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael answers just like we would answer. If I said, Jesus Christ is at Panda Buffet, my wife would say, well, I'm going to wait until he's not there anymore before I meet him because that place is gross. Jesus is at Becker's. Jesus is at Card Hooley's. Well, I'm not going in there because you'll get a staph infection. Nathanael looks at Philip. Philip just said, we found the Messiah. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael's first answer is there any good thing can come out of Nazareth? Do you remember when I preached this about Ashton Beulah and said we've got to quit talking about Ashton Beulah the way we talk? Is there any good thing that can come out of Ashton Beulah? How come everybody always wants to say something bad or negative or pessimistic about things when they're introducing Jesus? Well, anyway, Philip, listen, let's read down through it. Nathanael, verse 46, says unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come see. Jesus sees Nathanael coming and says unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael says unto him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said, before Philip even called thee, when thou were under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus says, because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? You're going to see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Philip was able to introduce Jesus to Nathanael. Remember, we're talking today about introducing Jesus. Let's turn quickly to Acts chapter 8. I'm laying a groundwork to make a point that I want to get to, so just kind of bear with me as I read this. Acts chapter 8, we're going to start reading at verse 26. It says this, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, here's Philip again, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. We always gloss over that scripture. Who in here's fast? We should ask this before the kids went downstairs. Who in here runs? Colton, you fast? You put your hand up. Can you catch a chariot? Me neither. I can't catch a cold. I sure can't catch a chariot. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself. And the Bible says that Philip ran to him in a chariot. He chased down a chariot. How desperate are you to preach the word of God? If God said, hey, chase that car down Shepherd Road and tell them about me, you'd be like, well, can you make them stop? Philip runs to a chariot, and it says he ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31, the eunuch says, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That's the scriptures in Isaiah that the eunuch is reading. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of another man? Verse 35, very important. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I want to talk to you today about introducing Jesus. Now let me read this the way I wrote it. In order for these men to be able to introduce Jesus to others, both in person and then by the scriptures, they had to first know Jesus. They had to understand Jesus' mission and his purpose. They had to have their own relationship with Jesus first, and then that relationship made them want to introduce Jesus to everyone else. Our main focus as Christians is to point people to Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, that is your whole mission. It's not to be on the worship team. It's not to become a preacher. It's not to have your name in lights. It's not to be the best Sunday school teacher. Your mission as a Christian is to point other people, not to me, not to my wife, not to even this church. It's to point people to Jesus. It's to introduce the world to Jesus Christ. We need to be where we need to be able to introduce Jesus to the world. That's a big statement. We as a church, and more specifically, we as individual saints of God need to keep ourselves where we need to be spiritually so that when the opportunity arises, we can point people or lead people or introduce people to Jesus. Listen, I'm not trying to bawl you out. I'm not trying to yell. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But the way you live on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in your everyday life is a greater testimony of your relationship with Jesus than how you act when you come into this building on Sunday for an hour and a half, or if you don't get with me, for 2 hours. God has called each of us to be ambassadors in his stead, saying, I want you to go tell the world about me. But too many times, our relationship with God is not where it needs to be personally. So when we go try to tell the world about Jesus, the world looks back at us and questions our relationship. We have got to maintain our own personal relationship with Jesus so that we can introduce him to other people. There is no way that I could, in right spirit, introduce you to my wife and say all these glowing things about my wife, and you can't wait till you meet her, wait till you meet her. She's so pretty, she's so nice, she's so smart, she smells good, she does this, she dresses nice. If behind the scenes, the relationship with my wife is not what it's supposed to be. That's a fake or a phony. And you know what happens? People see through that very quick. Kids really see through it fast, and that's why we discipline them, because they just say it. We as adults, we've matured enough that we lie. Kids will just call you out on it. But if you are going to introduce someone that's never met someone to someone that you have a relationship with, you have got to keep that relationship in tip-top shape before you can convince anybody else to want to have a relationship with that person. Can I get an amen? How we live every day as saints of God, as Christians, is very important. I wrote it like this. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. So ask me the question. Well, how do we do it? I'm glad you asked. I'm on my last page of notes. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Don't put it up yet, because I want to talk a little bit. In the scriptures that we just read in Acts, Philip took a scripture in Isaiah and started to teach a Bible study to a man that it ultimately ended up, he baptized him because of that Bible study, and he took a scripture and he taught unto that man Jesus. Do you realize that if you have a relationship with God and you have a relationship with his word, that you can take just about any scripture in the Bible and point a non-believer to Jesus? You can open the Bible at a whim and just open it up to a page, close your eyes, sit down on a verse, and if you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you can take that scripture and construct a conversation where you can lead that person to Jesus and introduce him. Amen, Brother Mike. That's what we're going to do today. All right, you can put those scriptures up. I'm going to start reading at verse 31 of chapter 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. If you have your Bibles and are following with me, you'll notice that all of these words are in red. This is Jesus himself speaking. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his... Say that with me. Read that with me. That's a tongue twister. Let's read that. Let's read verse 33 out loud. All right, stop. Stop. I wasn't trying to be spiritual. I was trying to be joking. Say this real fast. Ready? Go. He's going to set the sheep on his right hand, and he's going to put the goats on his left hand. Now, you're not, some of you, that's the only thing you're going to get out of the whole message. You're going to be driving home trying to say that real fast. He shall set the sheep on his right hand. All right. Verse 34, then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, so the sheep. We know spiritually that the sheep are the ones that do right, the goats. I've always said the difference between a sheep and a goat is goat's butt. I know the word says that, but. I know the Bible says I have to do that, but. I know Jesus expects me to do that, but. That's a goat, goat's butt. Sheep follow. So the sheep on the right hand, he says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what all of us want to hear, right? All of us want to hear on that day, regardless of all of our different beliefs and our different opinions and our different backgrounds and our different ideologies, really what we're striving is on that day for Jesus to say, well done to us. We want him to say, good job, enter into heaven. Well, this is what the scripture says. This is what Jesus said. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35. Because I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. Wait a minute, I thought it was all about speaking in tongues. Wait a minute, what's Jesus saying? I was a stranger. I'm going to give you a Bible study for 2 minutes, and some of you are going to get mad at me. The word stranger in this text comes from the Greek word xenos. It's the root word for where Americans get the word xenophobia. This word means an illegal alien. I'm going to pause for about 5 seconds and let that quietness hit you right in your spirit. Jesus said, I was an illegal alien, and you took me in. Some of us as Christians fulfill the scripture that says we draw nigh to God with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. I'm not here to preach politics. I've told you what I believe politics is. The word poly means many. And the word ticks means things that you pull off your dog. Politics is many ticks. The Republicans are ticks. The Democrats are ticks. The conservatives are ticks. The Democrats, the liberals are ticks. Listen to me. I'm going to move on, but I have to say it because I just have to say it. If I was in charge right now, which I'm not, I never will be because this is my viewpoint, I would round up all 535 of our knucklehead politicians. There's 435 in the House, and there's 100 senators that can't get along enough to just get the government open. I would lock them all in a room, and every hour they didn't come up with a resolution, I would do what Jesus did, and I'd make a scourge of three cords, and I would walk in and beat them until they could get their head screwed on straight and get something figured out. And if you disagree with me, I'd like to lock you in that room with them and beat you too. We're trying to introduce the world to Jesus. We're not trying to introduce them to a political party. And sometimes the scripture needs to supersede our affiliation. Amen. Ooh, that's good. That's good preaching. The word stranger in this scripture is translated from the Greek word xenos, that means illegal alien. And Jesus said, enter in, thou blessed, because when I was an alien, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the church, that's us, we're the church. We proud to be the church? We should be. But listen to the church's response, verse 37. Then the righteous, the church people, the holy people, the suit wearers, the tie wearers, the shavers, the nice shoes, the silk socks, the highfalutin, the dancers. That's why I don't shout much. I don't need to get in the prayer line and get my ankle prayed for when I sprain my ankle. I got the spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet. I got to keep it under control. But the righteous said, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty and gave you a drink? You can keep going. When saw we thee an illegal alien and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? If we went down to Becker's, like I said, and I told you Jesus was there, and we walked in and Jesus was sick, or Jesus was hungry, or Jesus was thirsty, by all means, every one of us, we would have took that money out that we clutched in our pocket when Brother Mike took the offering, and you're like, I'm not giving any more to that money-hungry church, and that $20 bill that we wouldn't give, we would definitely go up to Becker's and say, give them the house special. I'm not going to let Jesus be hungry. I'm not going to let you. What do you want to drink, Jesus? Line them up. They're on me. Next round on me. Any of you used to be drinkers? Any of you still drinkers? It's a different message. The righteous, the church people, us. We said, when did we see you? Like, when did we see you sick or in prison? Do you realize that the church of God, in America especially, is missing out on the greatest revival that we could ever have because we're going after the wrong people? Jesus didn't say, I was a politician and you voted for me. I was running for sheriff and you worked on my campaign. It doesn't say any of that. Jesus said, I was hungry. I was hungry. You gave me some food. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. I was an illegal alien. And you didn't stand there with a sign that said, deport them all. You took me in. You took me in. I was sick. I was sick. And you didn't put on a mask and say, unclean, unclean. No, you visited me. You visited me when I was sick. The church people said,
When on earth did we ever see you like this? Jesus never got COVID. Jesus isn't hungry. He took loaves and fishes and just said a few words and can malt. When were you ever hungry? When were you thirsty? When were you in prison? Jesus' answer should ring in our souls for the rest of our eternal existence, because Jesus' answer was, when you did it to the least of these, it's as if you did it unto me. I'm telling you right now, if the door swung open and Jesus Christ walked in and we knew him, however you picture him, if you're like from the 60s and you're the flower child Jesus, where he walks with his sandals and there's rose petals and stuff floating behind him and the mamas and papas are playing them, if you're from that generation, any of you from the Jesus movement, do any of you get baptized in the Pacific Ocean? Okay. However you picture Jesus, if you're old school like me and you think everything's dark and dreary and Jesus was beaten beyond recognition and that's how you picture him, however you picture Jesus, what I'm saying is, if those doors flew open right now and Jesus walked in and you knew it to be him, how would you treat him? Did you notice that Pastor R. Derry, when he introduced me, he gave me honor? Did you notice that when I took the mic, I gave him honor? You realize that's appropriate, it's important. How much honor would we give Jesus? I would. We were singing in Ashton, well, I wasn't, but we were singing in Jefferson this morning. Brother Tyler was singing. He should sing that song every service. He should sing Victory in Jesus every service. If you don't like that song, come to the altar and repent of your sins, because you're a... And then he should follow it up with, We Exalt Thee. When he sings that song, and I'm not trying to buffer him up, I literally can sense the spirit of heaven. See, some of us think we're going up to heaven to hook back up with our relatives that have passed on. We're going to heaven to worship the Lord for eternity. There's going to be silence for about the space of a half hour, and then we're going to be in eternal worship, and we're going to look upon the one that bought our salvation with his death, and we're going to exalt him. And when he sings that, I can't even stand on my feet because I feel humiliated to be standing in the presence of the one true God. So I have to get on my, I have to bow. I have to show obedience. That's what we do. So if Jesus walked in here and I'm standing here preaching and I'm really going after it and I'm giving it all I got and Jesus walked in, I just throw the mic down and fall before him. I said all that to say this. How come when the sick walk in, I don't do that? How come when someone's hungry and they've come in and they've asked for church help again, we get extremely frustrated? How come when those that are in prison want visitation, it's a pain in the butt? How come when the illegal aliens... And you don't think this is an issue? You don't think the churches in California and Texas and Arizona are dealing with this? Our general superintendent, David Bernard, put out a special video as to how we as the church are to handle when we get an influx of people that do not have proper documentation. And you know what his response was? We are the church. We are not the government. We are to handle them differently. If you have a problem with that, you've got a problem with Jesus. That's how we introduce Jesus. When they're hungry, we feed them. We don't make them fill out questionnaires. They don't have to do a background check. When they're thirsty, we give them something to drink. When they're sick, we go into the hospitals and the nursing homes and their homes, and we pray the prayer of faith over them. We don't avoid them. They're not lepers. We don't stand with a cloth over our mouth and they have to stay outside in a village until the priest can go out and deem them clean. I said all that to say this, and I want to talk about this for the next few minutes. I preach this message for a reason. We are doing something this Friday in this church that's been on my heart ever since I found out about it, and I'm going to tell you why I want to do it. And if this makes you upset, you do not have to be involved. This is not a requirement. You are not required to do this at all. You're not required to support this. You're not required to promote this. You don't have to do any of this. But I want to tell you what we're going to do as the church. Starting tomorrow, essentially, but actually starting yesterday, it's the month of November. Now, give me a side note. I'm not going to spend any time on it. If you did not get a new bulletin, get one before you leave and read what I wrote in it if you are a person that already has your Christmas tree up. If you do, bah humbug on you. That's not the point. Just read that. You'll get something out of it. November 1st, the U.S. federal government is shut down. Millions of people Saturday lost their benefits. They will not receive food stamps this month. There will be no SNAP. They're already talking about, I had to hear from family that lives in PA. I don't believe it's every state yet. But in Pennsylvania, they have already been threatened that Social Security checks will not go out this month. As of this moment right now, I'm not in the know as much as it, but there is no end in sight. Now, you can sit there, yell it out right now, who's at fault? I already told you what I would do. I'd take my belt off and I'd beat every single one of them. And I'd beat them till they changed their mind. And then when they changed their mind, I'd beat them more for me having to beat them. And when I got done, they're like, done. I'd be like, you know what? Just let me get a couple more shots. You ever have one of them kids that's real bad? You just want, after like, I'm sorry. Boom. That's just for the road. But here in Ashtabula, there are going to be women. I'm not saying this to be rude, so if it's rude, punch me after church. They're going to be women the same age as these two women right here that are going to make a choice. Monday, I'll be able to eat, but that means I can't take my medicine. So Tuesday, I'll take my medicine, but I'm not going to have anything to eat. There's going to be people that wake up with fevers because it's that time of year and they got around these kids and they got sick and they're going to wake up in the morning and they're not going to be able to go to the hospital because they don't have any benefits. There's going to be children that go to bed not like our kids. Our kids haven't been hungry in years. They're picky and they're spoiled.
You're going to get an argument with them today after church about where you're going out, what restaurant you go to, because they don't like that place. And they're going to complain later that they're hungry. That's not the hungry I'm talking about. I'm talking about if they still have utilities, they're going to pull open a cupboard if they have light, and they're going to look in there, and there's not going to be anything in there. So I told my wife, I know I'm going to catch flack. I know I'm going to catch flack. I know I'm going to catch flack. I've already caught it. I've already had people reach out to me and say, oh, you've really changed. You're a liberal. You're a bleeding heart liberal. I knew as soon as you would get up there, you would change. But we're going to feed people. And if I'm wrong, let me be the one that splits hell wide open. If I'm wrong, then God punish me. I'm going to stand before you like Moses. If I'm the one that's wrong, don't blot their name out. Blot mine out. But when I look into people's face and I know that they need Jesus, before I can ever give them a scripture, before I can ever give them a Bible tract, if I know they're hungry, I need to feed them. So that's what we're going to do. Friday in this church at 6 o'clock from 6 to 8. It's not a big menu. And listen, I took the reins on it. So get mad at me. We ain't complicating it. Not everybody make your favorite dish. I figured if we started getting donations, it's my responsibility to be a wise steward. So what's the cheapest way to stretch a dollar other than ramen noodles? Because we could have did that. I would say it's pasta. The day after, my brother's church in Niles is doing pasta. Friday, we're doing sloppy joes, hot dogs, chips, cookies, and drinks. Here's the qualifications for you to know if you're eligible to come get them, if you can get here. If you can't and you call me, I'll try to get a way to start delivering them. You don't have to stay. You don't have to eat here. You don't have to say hello. You can just come to the door. We're going to do it eat in. We're going to do it take out. We'll have the fellowship hall set up. We'll jam as many people as we can fit in there. We'll give them to-go containers. They can eat while they're here and take something home. They can tell us that their friend next door wants one, and we're going to give it to them. We're not going to complicate it. I'm not going to stand at the door. We're not taking any names. I don't want contact information. This isn't an outreach event to try to get members to the church. This is a way for this church, our church, to show our community who Jesus is. I hope we have so many we run out of food. I hope we have a whole group of people that don't look anything like us. I hope we have to stand at the door and try to get someone to interpret because they don't speak English. And I'm asking all of you if you come. All I want you to do is feel with your heart what Jesus felt. Because the people that will be here are the very ones that were on his mind when he said, beat me one more time. Hang me on a tree. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we're going to introduce some people to Jesus. We're not going to have no music. I'm not going to preach to them. I'm not even going to wear a white dress shirt. I might wear. All you people that think I dress like an old man, come to the altar. There's a spirit of demon. There's a demon in here.
One of these days I'm going to get the courage to cast it out. My wife's like, you look like you're 90 years old. I'm like, well, I'm married to you. See, I went too far. Let me wrap this up. Jesus goes on in that scripture in Matthew 25. He lists the same exact things. And he says, the goats aren't going to make heaven because when they saw me like this, they didn't do anything. And the righteous said the same thing. They said, when did we ever see you like that? When did we ever see Jesus like that? And Jesus said, when you did it not to the least of these, it's as if you did it not unto me. You know what we need to see when those people walk through the door? It needs to be a mirror, because what they need to see is they need to see Jesus in us. What we need to see is we need to see Jesus in them. Every person that will walk through the doors on Friday evening is our brother and our sister. Now I'm going to say this and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to close. If your heart or your mind will not allow yourself to be spiritually and emotionally compassionate to what we're trying to do, I don't want you to come. But if you want to show the world Jesus, if you want to introduce people to Jesus, I want you to get up Friday morning. I want you to pray. I want you to open your heart before God. And I mean it. I want you to open yourself before God. And I want you to say, God, just like you're touched with the feeling of our infirmities, God, let me feel it. God, let me feel it. Let it impact me. Let it impact me. God, let me see things that stir me deep down where I keep myself protected. And then I want you to come Friday night. I want you to put a smile on your face. I want you to be ready to hug some necks. I want you to be ready to try to speak Spanish when you don't know how. You ever have to do that? We had a man that was deaf in our church. He couldn't speak. We loved him. His name was Richard. We'd take him out to eat with us. Well, then the waitress would come, and we'd be like, how in the world is he going to order? So we would ask him what he wanted, and he would point at the menu. And then it was myself and Pastor Brown. We would talk to the waitress for him. And I'll never forget it. We were at Perkins and Niles, and the lady's talking, and I'm like, I said, he's going to have the two eggs and the bacon and the pancakes. And I'm trying to, like, do silently and talk. When I got done, the waitress looked at Richard, and she started signing. And Richard pointed at me and Pastor Brown. I didn't understand sign language, but I understood this. This was universal. He goes, I hope I have to sit and talk to people and say, excuse me, and they just, and I just get the to-go container. They don't need to hear my voice. They need to know there's still people that love Jesus and that love them. So if you're watching this, I'm going to say this. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it with everything in me. There's a place for you here. There is a place for you here.
I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you bring to the table. This is home for you if you want it to be, because my Father owns this house and He loves you right now. So here's what we're going to do. This afternoon, I want us as a church to spend some time in prayer, preparing our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for this Friday. I want us to have the right attitudes. I want us to have the right focus going into Friday. We need our community to be introduced to Jesus. Just like John the Baptist, just like Andrew, and just like Philip, we are blessed enough to be called this Friday to introduce Jesus. We've been given an opportunity that we're probably not qualified for, we're probably not prepared for, and we're probably not ready for. But that's why we're going to just rely on Him. We're going to take a leap of faith this Friday. So if you want to be part of that, again, I'm not going to force you. And if you don't, I'm not going to be angry with you. But if you do, I want you to gather in right now. We're not praying for the Holy Ghost. We're not praying for salvation of lost souls. We're not praying for any of that right now. What we're going to do as a church body this afternoon is we're going to pray and we're going to get our attitudes right. We're going to get our spirits right. We're going to get our hearts right. We're going to talk to God, because I'm telling you, this Friday, we're going to continue to promote. I'm going to tell you right now, if you are on social media, I'm giving you a commandment as your pastor. I want the post that we are making that has the information for this dinner shared as much as we can possibly share it. I want every individual that lives in Ashtabula to know about this event. All of them. Every one of them. And every one of them is invited here. The ones you don't like, the ones that you got restraining orders against, if you do, stay home so they can come. I'm being plain. The ones that if they show up, you're going to do this. Listen, my wife does that every time I come home from work. I still keep coming home. I'm going to keep on eating. God has opened an effectual door for this church. We're not going to run through it with pride, but we're going to stand at the door. We're going to serve people. We're going to love people. We're going to introduce this world to Jesus. I want you as an individual, if you want to get together in groups, however you want to do it, I want us today, let's get our heart right. Let's get our spirit right. Let yourself be touched. Some of you gentlemen, why don't you let some tears flow? What if your grandbaby was sick? What if it was your grandmother that didn't have medicine? What if it was your neighbor? What if it was your sister? What if we found out today that Sister Carter hadn't taken her medicine in 3 months? Because she needed her money just to sustain herself with crackers. What if your cousin, your nieces, your nephews are going to bed, haven't eaten in days? What if we found out Sister Bonnie had to have her utilities turned off the night of the first snowfall? God's given us a door. God's given us an open window, not to introduce the world to us, not to say anything about us, but to show them who Jesus is. I want you to pray. I mean it. I want you to let your emotions get involved. I want it to stir you deep down in your soul. I want it to stir up something in you. I want you to feel something that you've kept yourself protected from for a long time. I want some snot to run out of your nose. I want some tears to run down out of your eyes. I want you to be touched. I want your emotions to be stirred. And then I want you to get your heart right and show up and realize that God has called us for such a time as this to introduce Ashtabula to Jesus Christ. As they begin to sing and play, pray to the Lord. Open your mouth and open your heart.
From the inside of me. May you delight in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Let praises rise from the inside from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside, from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the all I want for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. And fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my heart till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Till all they see Control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you,
them to continue singing when I'm done saying this. Some of you were here last week and were in our altar service that I was talking about where God shifted something in this atmosphere. I just received a testimony. We prayed for this young lady last week. We laid hands on her twice. I had the sisters help me lay hands on her. She needed a miracle. The doctors couldn't give her any explanation as to what was going on. We were trying to piece things together in our own mind of what a diagnosis would be. We prayed the prayer of faith right here. We went back and prayed it again at the pew. I actually asked her to say it, but she's very wise. She's scared of you people, as am I. I said, just yell at them a little bit, they'll get it. She just told me overnight, not last night, the night we prayed, God did a miracle and everything is taken care of. You'd act different if that was your daughter. You'd act different if that was your granddaughter. Jesus Christ is still true. His word is still powerful. He still heals. He still saves. He still delivers. And he wants to use us. There's a place for you here. There's a place for you here. Let Jesus be God. Let Jesus be glorified. Let Jesus be magnified. In the name of Jesus.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Fill my life till 'cause all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high, 'cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
Those that are praying can continue to pray. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for your response today. Let's prepare our hearts for a good work this Friday. God's going to do something. He's going to continue to do what he wants to do. I do want to thank everybody for your generosity. We've received donations of things that were, of food items, of water, of monetary donations, far and above measure what we're probably going to need. So thank you for that. What we do need now is we need people to pray, and we need people to have faith that we're going to show Ashtabula who Jesus Christ is. We're not going to talk about us. We're going to talk about Jesus. Because the Bible says when he's lifted up, if I be lifted up from this earth, I'll draw all men unto me. They're going to see Jesus. They're going to meet Jesus. And we need to see Jesus in them just like they see Jesus in us. Thank you so much. I'd be remiss if I didn't say it. I got to make you aggravated before you leave. It's early. We're getting out early. Enjoy a Sunday when the Browns don't lose. Be proud of it. Call somebody and prophesy to them. The Browns are not going to lose today. 100%. Amen. You're all mad at me. I love you. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for this service. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. God, we ask you to continue, Lord, to position us in a place, Lord, and in a way that we can show the world your love and show them who you are. We appreciate this opportunity. We want to walk into it boldly, but with the confidence that is in you, Lord. Help us to show the world who you are and let them to know that there's a place here for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed at this time. Have a blessed Sunday.